Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. I wanted to do something special for Christmas in July this year, but everything that I could think of was something that I had already done in a previous episode, or at least done something similar, or it's been done by another Christmas podcast. Then it came to me that maybe the thing to do would be to introduce you to a bunch of other Christmas podcast hosts and see what it is that made them get into doing Christmas podcasts, whatever particular niche that they were in. Now, I connect with several other Christmas podcasters from time to time, sometimes almost daily, and in the year and a half that the Sounds of Christmas podcast has been chugging along, I've found the Christmas podcast community to be a welcoming and fun place. Sharing my love for Christmas and Christmas music with so many who also love Christmas and some particular thing or things about the season that has led them to host a podcast about it. So what I'm going to try and do for the month of July is highlight as many of these as I can. And since you're listening now, there's a good chance you'll want to give them a try and enjoy a little more Christmas spirit. Today, I'm joined by Jerry, Scott, and Sean, and I want them to introduce themselves and their podcasts. So, Jerry, why don't you start?
Hi, I'm Jerry D. I'm the host of the Totally Rad Christmas Podcast. It's a podcast all about Christmas in the 80s, where we talk movies, specials, books, TV shows, comics, food. We even talked about fashion, as long as it even has anything remotely to do with Christmas in the 1980s. And I do stretch it a little bit from 77 to 93, like 3 years either way, as just kind of give and take there. But I'll talk about it on the show. And this year we're starting to get more, I don't want to say celebrities, because they're not super, super duper famous, but we're starting to get more people that have experience in the business and that are involved in some of these projects on the show as well. And so it's been a lot of fun. But yeah, we'll cover anything in the 80s because that's when I grew up. And that's, to me, that's, you know, it feels like when I was most excited for Christmas. So if I can bring back any kind of nostalgia to anybody that was young at that time, then that's a win for me.
Scott, how about you?
My name is Scott Leopold. I'm the host of the Holly Jolly Xmasu podcast. It's a podcast all about Japanese Christmas music. Each episode, I take an album or a group of songs from my own personal collection, and I play the music. I talk about the artists, any background about the album or the songs. And it's just a way for me to try to, you know, get some exposure to this music that I kind of stumbled on, and I just got to be, you know, really passionate collector about it. And I thought it would be a fun idea to, you know, start up a podcast to share it with everyone.
And Sean?
Sean Sotka. I'm the host of the Christmas Podcast podcast. Basically, I hype all you guys up is what I really do. We have a bunch of Christmas podcasts on our website, christmaspodcast.com. And when you guys drop episodes, I put them out on our website, directing back to you, just to try to get more, you guys, more reach out there for Christmas lovers and expose everybody to the Christmas. And so I just love Christmas podcasts. So we just started it up, and yeah, I'm basically your guys' hype guys. You guys come out with episodes, I put them out, tweet them out, put them on Instagram and Facebook and say, hey guys, listen to these episodes. And every one of you guys, everybody's had an episode I absolutely love. So, and a lot of them pretty recently too. And Scott's such a niche. I love his because of all the Japanese that I've never heard. And that's just great. And like Jerry, he's got the '80s. That's when I was starting to get into my teens and really loving too. And then obviously Ken with you, I'm a music lover. My dad was a musician. So your Sounds of Christmas is right up my alley with all this. So that's what I do, is hype you guys up just like I did.
Sean, how long have you been doing this?
I've been doing this for a couple of years. Basically, once COVID, the lockdowns from COVID hit, I started up. I was talking with Jeff Westover of My Merry Christmas, and we were chatting and stuff. And he's like, well, how many podcasts do you listen to? And at that time, I had about, a good 6, 7, 8 of them that I listened to. And I think Jerry was one of them at the time, because he was one of the first ones on. And Tis the Podcast was another one. And Tim Babb's Can't Wait for Christmas. So those were like one of the first ones we had on our website that Jeff and I talked about. So he says, well, why don't we, and I've been telling Jeff that I've been wanting to do a podcast. It's just, with all the researching and stuff and me being busy, I didn't know where to begin. And this was just an easy way, because my research is easy. You guys drop the episodes, I just take your information and relay it back out there. So, and I love Christmas podcasts. It's just something, it's a way to get Christmas that's different. You get other people's aspects and insights and their opinions on them. And I'm of the one that I like hearing different opinions about things that I love, even if they don't like them like I do. But I respect that they have the opinion, and to hear why, it gives me a broader liking of the Christmas stuff. And then, of course, with Jerry, with his, you name it, if it's Christmas, I'll do it. He's almost like Todd Killian. But if it's got even a bit of mistletoe in the thing, he's going to make it Christmas. So, I mean, we were even talking about making Dune Christmas, right, Jerry?
We were, yeah. But it's mostly just an excuse to mash together my two favorite things, which are the 80s and Christmas. So sometimes I do really stretch the definition of what counts as Christmas. But most of the time, I'm pretty well in the pocket, I think.
Yeah, and that's what I love. And that's why I got into trying to hype you guys up. Because as the COVID and the lockdowns hit, there was just an explosion of Christmas podcasts. I mean, podcasts were big anyway, but there was just an explosion of Christmas podcasts. And mm-hmm. The difference, the varieties, you talk about Christmas music, movies, anything like that, and just to get the different insights, that's what I absolutely loved. And that's why we started up the website and the podcast, for me to recap everything that's going on.
Yeah, I think for most of us who do Christmas podcasts about one thing or another, that one thing might be our favorite, but there's lots of things about Christmas that we love. I moved recently, so I haven't unpacked them, but I have boxes of Christmas books that I haven't gotten around to taking out, and Christmas movies. And God, I love so much about Christmas, but music's my favorite, and that's my focus. But I love it all. Jerry, how long have you been doing your podcast?
So I started in April of 2020. So same thing, as soon as the lockdown hit is when I went full force. Now, I originally was going to start the August of 2019. So I guess I've been around for about 2.5 years now, but I had my theme song written in August of 2019. I had pretty much my outline all done. But that's when I started my new job working at the Christmas store. I actually do work at a Christmas store. That's how much I love Christmas. But because of that, I really didn't have much time. That's like my busy season is from September all the way through December. So I kind of waited, and I was going to start it that following August, but then lockdown happened and I thought, okay, I'll just go ahead and start it now. So yeah, it's been since April of 2020.
And you, Scott?
Actually, I started in April of 2020 also. Like a lot of people, the COVID hit. And a few months before that, I had a little money left over from Christmas. And there were these Japanese albums that I'd heard about. And I, after years of searching, I realized the only way I'm going to hear them is if I buy the actual vinyl. So I ordered a few albums. I got them. I thought it was really cool. Didn't think I'd be ordering any more. And then I found the auction sites over in Japan, which, you know, that made it a lot easier to find the stuff I really wanted. So I was like, okay, you know what? I'll make one big order. I'll get everything or a lot of the stuff that I want, and I'll be done with it. So I ended up, I had, you know, a couple of dozen albums on hand, and I'd been listening to Christmas Past and Can't Wait for Christmas for quite a while. And I started talking with Brian Earle, and I was like, you know, I'm thinking about doing this. And he really encouraged me. So I got a plan. And his best advice was, you know, just go for it. Get that first episode out there. Don't worry about how it sounds, but then make sure you do the next one too. And here I am, what, 53 episodes later? 55, I forget. But yeah, it just, once I got started, I kept going, found that I enjoyed it. I enjoyed getting, you know, new albums to talk about. And yeah, I have plenty to keep me going for quite a while at this point.
You know, it's funny listening to you guys talk about having your plan and talking to people. And now, I had done a lot of planning to get the Sounds of Christmas station off the ground 15 years ago. But January 2021, in my day job, I do social media for a bunch of different clients. And I was helping somebody get their podcast off the ground. And I thought, hey, I wonder if anybody would be interested in a podcast about Christmas music. I mean, it's really niche, but let's see what happens. So that's all the planning that I did. Hey, I wonder if anybody besides me would care about this. And I threw it out there and was pleased to find that. And, you know, that's a little bit like the way that I started the station. I love Christmas music, and regular radio stations play the same, I used to say the same 100 songs, but I'm not sure if it's even that many anymore.
I don't even know if it's that many. Yeah.
So, and there's just so much that you never hear that, right. I thought maybe somebody else besides me has noticed that. So I'm going to try and do this. And I did it, and it got a great response. And it was sort of the same thing with this. I thought, well, I don't know if anybody's going to care about hearing me talk about Christmas music. And I was doing this at the end of January. So it wasn't like I was going to be able to reach out to anybody. Hey, want to come in and talk about the Christmas album that maybe you'll have out in 11 months? No, nobody wants to do that. So I wasn't going to have any guests. I wasn't going to. So I was, well, let's just see what happens. But yeah, no planning. No, didn't talk to anybody about it. Just threw it out there. And if I had heard what you guys had done beforehand to plan it out and to talk to people, and Jerry, to even have your own theme song, I probably would have gone, wow, I don't have time to do this. I'm not going to do it. And now I've done like 70 episodes or something like that. I'm like, well, I guess I am going to do this.
But, well, the funny thing with the theme song was that the whole idea wasn't even my idea. It was actually Todd Killian from Christmas Clatter who suggested, because I appeared on Tis the Podcast. We talked Rudolph and Frosty's Christmas in July, and I happen to be a friend of the Rankin Bass historian, Rick Goldschmidt. So he was telling me some things, and so I started telling him some things while I was on the show. And afterwards, Todd Killian messaged me and was like, hey, that was fun. You should have your own show. And I thought, okay, cool. And I was driving home one day, and just a tune popped in my head. And so I pulled over into the library, the local library, and I just sat and recorded it on my phone. And then it took about a week to write everything out. And I played and performed it. And so I had my theme song. And I was like, okay, well, now what's the show going to be about? So, yeah, it was just one of those where I didn't quite know exactly what I was getting into.
Has there been an episode or episodes that you have done that really stand out that you would consider among your favorites?
Well, I know, I mean, some of the ones that I've just recorded recently have been amazing. So I did an interview with Katie Lee, who was the voice of Sheila the Thief in Dungeons and Dragons. She was the voice of Ralph the Dog in The Muppet Babies and a few other really cool projects that she's done. And so that was one of my favorites. There's not a whole lot of Christmas in it, but it is there. Also, I talked with Rachel Murray from the Rebel Pebbles. That one probably was one of my favorites because she was just so cool. The one that with Captain Sensible and his hit, that one was very, very fun. But I think my all-time favorite is probably the first Raddies that I did. I decided to do on a lark. I wanted to do a clip show. And so I thought the best way to do that was to have like a fake award show. And so I created the Totally Rad Christmas Awards, the Raddies. And so the first one was probably my favorite. It was a ton of work. I had no idea what I was getting into, but it came out, I think, pretty decent. And so I that one kind of has a soft spot in my heart.
So with the Raddies, did you give awards to your own episodes?
So kind of. Yes, kind of. that's the big joke about it, is it? Okay. Now, I am not officially nominated except for most sentimental, like the raddest sentimental memory. And that there's only one nominee, and it's my family. And I've done it twice, and it's always just us, and we always win. But the big gag is basically is that it's the award show for my episodes. And so it's the guest technically gets the award, the win. But, you know, it's for my own show. So it's really dumb, but it's just fun.
No, it's fun.
And I have like a killer idea for the third Raddies. And so I'm very, very excited to get into it. So.
Well, I think it's just funny. And that's why I said that. It is. Scott, do you have a favorite episode or episodes, anything that really stands out that you like above the others?
The first one that really, you know, came together for me was, I think it was like my eighth episode. It was Christmas Tenor Mood by Nakamura Hachidai and Hidehiko Matsumoto. It's an album that I had seen it on Discogs forever. I finally decided to go ahead and buy it. Just one of the most beautiful albums you ever hear. And the history behind the two guys was just phenomenal. I really got into the research for that episode. The music just really kept me going. And it's the first one that I really got a strong response to, especially it's the first one my parents ever called me up and said, hey, we listened to this and thought it was great. So that one, that's always going to be one of my favorites. And then my first Christmas episode, I covered Jun Fukamachi's Now Sound Christmas. It's one of the most unbelievable albums you ever hear. It took a lot of trying for me to finally get a copy, and it just it'll blow you away. It's unlike anything you'll hear any place else. So that was fun, just, you know, getting the album, hearing the album, and doing the research for it. There's a few others that really stand out, but one of the most enjoyable ones I've done was when I had Jerry on. I covered an album, GMO Christmas Songs.
It was super fun. Yeah.
It's from like 86. It's video game music versions
like
of
chip tunes. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've tried repeatedly to get it on vinyl just because, you know, I thought it'd be fun having this digital album on vinyl. I still just have the CD, but that was a lot of fun to do. And I've got some plans to have, you know, guest episodes in the future. I just haven't gotten to the point where I've got all the music that I want so that I can get those lined up.
Yeah, I know that feeling of not having all the music that you want, because I go through that. I go through that all the time. Let me dig down a little deeper with you on one thing, Scott, because I don't know if people get this who aren't into collecting music. When you talk about how hard it is to find certain things, because most people think, well, you know, you go to Spotify or you go to YouTube and you put in the box what you're looking for and seven things come up and there it is. But it's not like that with the music that you're looking for.
Physical media is still really big in Japan, and there's a variety of reasons for that. Part of it has to do with the idol system, where, you know, if you're a fan of a band, the more copies of a CD you buy, the better chance you have of, you know, winning concert tickets, posters and stuff like that. But then a lot of the artists are very reluctant to have their music put on streaming services. Tatsuro Yamashita, who his Christmas Eve is, it's the biggest Japanese Christmas song ever. He gave an interview a couple weeks ago and he said he will never allow his music on Spotify. So, I mean, it's a pretty common attitude. So finding this music, you know, some of the stuff, there's kind of shady download sites that you can find it on, but the bulk of it, you really can't find it anywhere other than buying the physical media. So that's a challenge. And then the fact that a lot of this isn't on Discogs, so you can't just type in the English version of the title or somebody's name and find it. you have to be able to search for it in Japanese, and not speaking Japanese, that that presents, you know, additional challenges for me. But, you know, I've been lucky. I've connected with some Japanese Christmas music collectors. I've got some sites that I can rely on where I've got lists of songs and albums. And so a lot of it's, you know, a starting point. But the amount of time that I spend just doing searches on the various sites that I rely on for the for these albums, it's it takes up a lot of time.
Oh, yeah. I can certainly understand that, because back in the 80s, I was haunting used record stores looking for things that were on my list. And then CDs came along, and not everything that was on a record went to CDs. I would work in different music stores. I remember the excitement when the Rolling Stones music came out on CDs, and the way they did it was everything all at once. It was one Tuesday, all of their albums were now available on CD. Then the Beatles did theirs and parceled it out so that in February, the first four came out. And then a couple months later, the next ones came out. And they did that throughout the year. And then it came to digital, and people were holding back. The Beatles weren't going to do it for a long time. And then they made a deal, and finally it came out. And there have been other holdouts, Bob Seger, I think. I don't know if there are any big names, American artists, big names that have still held out. So it's really interesting to hear that, so that how different it is with the music in Japan, that it's not unusual for artists to hang on to their music and not put it out on Spotify or iTunes or whatever else is out there.
Well, and a lot of the older stuff has never even been re-released on CD. So you'll have a single by someone who ended up being, you know, a key musician that, you know, it came out in like 62, 67 or whatever, and it has never been re-released anywhere. So that can lead to, there's certain albums, certain singles that are very cost prohibitive. There's a few that I know that if they show up, they go for anywhere from, you know, $500 to $800 and just for a single. So some of those I know I'll never get. There's one that I got recently that every copy I've seen sell previously was like, you know, $300 to $500. I got it for like $45.
Wow.
How it didn't get any other bids, I have no idea, but I wasn't going to complain.
That's a great feeling. When somebody's selling something and they don't really know what it is they have. Mm-hmm. And you can get right in. Yeah.
And I know that feeling because I was a band director for a while, and they made me teach like music appreciation class and stuff like that. And so I turned it into like a film music class. And so I would hunt down like scores from film composers, and some of them were, the only way you could get them was on bootlegs. Of course, now they're out, but at the time it's like you had to find it and get lucky and hope that it wasn't, you know, $200 to $300 while you were at it. So scoring something, you know, for cheap that's supposed to be ridiculously expensive is always a feeling of Christmas.
Well, and some of this stuff, I think there's a limited audience for it. So I mean, you've got hardcore collectors both here and in Japan, and I think some of the really good deals I've gotten, I think, have just been a matter of timing, where something will come up for auction, and I'll be lucky enough that the other collectors who really want it just happen to be the ones that I lost out to the last time. So, in fact, I had an album yesterday morning like that.
Nice.
That last copy, I fought this guy. I gave up. It hit like $130. And got it yesterday for $13. So
I remember late 90s, Roger Daltrey of The Who appeared in a version of A Christmas Carol. And it was mostly a traditional version of the story, but there were a couple songs. And there was a CD single of one of the songs, Roger Daltrey and Choir or something like that. And that would show up on eBay. And I would, okay, I'll pay $20. I have no idea what it is, but I'll put in $20. And I would instantly get outbid, and it would go for hundreds of dollars. And then finally, somebody posted it, and they had no idea what it was. They posted a picture of it, but they didn't even put Daltrey's name in it. And I got it for like $5. I was so excited. And then it arrived, and I listened to it, and you can't tell that he's singing.
Oh, no. Just
completely overpowered by Choir. And I'm like, oh, well, okay, $5. That's okay. I have it. But I can't imagine if I had gotten caught in the fever and spent $300 or $500. Oof. Well, I wouldn't have spent that much. But and then get this thing and like, oh, my God. Oh my God, I'm so stupid. Of course, then I would have turned around and sold it on eBay again and hoped to get it back. But
now see, I lucked out like that. Somebody, there's a record from the early 60s that it's typically like a $40 or $50 album. And somebody listed it and they just called it a Christmas album. And the description basically said it's a record. And I was like, well, I'll bid my $10 and see what happens. Nobody else bid. So wow. I was pretty pleased.
Wow. Hey, Sean, I know what you do is so much different than this. It's probably hard for you to pick out any standout episode or episodes that were your favorite. And I don't want you to, you know, to hurt anybody's feelings if you don't. You know, if you don't say, well, I got it, there's 67 different podcasts on there and I have to pick one from each one. I don't want you to have to do that. But are there particular episodes that stand out for you that maybe you would even want to listen to again?
Oh, there's tons of them. And I've got favorite episodes on every single podcast that we host on ChristmasPodcast.com. As a matter of fact, going to you, Ken, your latest one that I didn't mention earlier was How to Make a Christmas Hit. I listened to that one, and that one was so interesting. And the story behind it and how it came about, too, because you said, yeah, you're just going to take clips from it from a different podcast. I'm so glad they gave you permission to do that. Because even you just describing it, you can't emote the emotion and everything that went behind all that. So hearing them and them giving permission, I'm so grateful they did that, because that was one of my favorites of yours too, as well as, like I said earlier, the lawsuits that were going on, because that's so interesting. And Jerry, I can't, because he's got so many that are so fun, because that's when I grew up. So, I mean, come on. Yeah. I mean, how can you narrow it down, really? And Scott, I mean, I can't pick one out either, because everything is so different from what I've heard. I've just listened to all this interesting Japanese music come out, and then you give them the stories behind it, you doing the research you do. That's what I also like about all the podcasts, is when people have the research behind what they're talking about too, and they give all this information. Yeah, some don't put it out in, like, there's a podcast that says the most under-researched podcast there, but they're giving their opinions too. Which is, how do you research given opinions? You're telling what's from the heart. So whether you research like Scott does, and he does a wonderful job researching, and Ken, you too, obviously, but you've also got a bunch of history. So I don't know how much researching you have to do versus just cleaning off the dust balls and the memory back there to say, hey, what was that again? I got that problem too. So, and then Jerry also does a great job of researching. I mean, with that Captain Sensible, I mean, like you said, you can't find it, go to the source. That's not the first time he says he's done it. So, I mean, those are some great ones there. I mean, like you said, I told Jerry, the Captain Sensible is the most recent one of my favorites of Jerry's. Obviously, the Raddies were great. Yeah, I even got to participate in that and make a fool of myself on it. It's always fun to do that. And yeah, like I said, every podcast that I listen to, I have a favorite, and I'm always excited when new ones come out. And even some of the ones I don't always necessarily listen to all the time, every one of them has got a episode that I love listening to. And I'm so thankful for you guys for what you do is what it is. And so thankful that you allow me to link back to your podcast and get it out there for other people to enjoy too. So, I mean, that's what we do is we take the ones that I feel people would really like, and it may not be my cup of tea most of the time. There are a few podcasts on there. I don't necessarily listen to all of them, but just because the title, okay, that doesn't interest me. Doesn't mean it's bad. And doesn't mean nobody else will like it, which is why I'll put it out there. Because you can my thoughts are always, you can disagree. You can have disagreements about stuff. That doesn't make one person right, one person wrong. It just means they have different opinions. So I want to get, whether I like it or not, I still want to get it out there. So other people, because I know there will be other people out there that like it. So whether I listen to them all or not, it's a moot point. I want people to listen and get what they like because somebody else might be looking for it. So,
yeah, one of the things that leaps to mind when you say that, and I'm certainly not picking on the podcast of somebody who's not here, but the Seasons of Eatings podcast, some of the stuff is that he puts out there is I don't want to say gross, but some of it I'm no interest. But the way that it's put together, it's so interesting. I do want to hear what comes next, even though there's no way I'll ever make that. And if you make it, I'm not even going to try it.
the biggest thing, especially with Seasons Eatings, yeah, he's got a lot of, I'm Scandinavian, so a lot of the stuff he talks about, I mean, it's right up my alley. But he's another one that does a lot of his research, and him being a chef himself, that helps.
Yeah.
So he knows what goes into doing these things. I love hearing the backstories behind a lot of these. So like you say, maybe nothing I want to eat. I like hearing where it came from, why it became a Christmas tradition and all that stuff. That's what makes that podcast so interesting. It's not maybe not necessarily the food, but all the work Glenn puts into that is what makes that podcast so great in my mind.
Exactly. You know, I had thrown out that there are 67 podcasts that you keep track of, and I made that number up on the spot. Do you know how many Christmas podcasts are on the ChristmasPodcast.com website?
I don't have an exact number, but it's roughly half of what you said. It's okay. About like, I think 34, 35, I think I have on there right now.
Okay. And this is, I had joked with everybody before we started that there were no gotcha questions. This is probably the closest, to that for you, Sean. And it's just, because you listen and are aware of so many different kinds of Christmas podcasts, is there something that you've noticed that's missing?
Books.
Really?
I mean, specifically talking about books. I mean, obviously that people talk about A Christmas Carol. I mean, that's the number one Christmas book. But there are other people that put books out there, and there isn't a podcast necessarily focused on the book or the literature part of Christmas outside of Dickens. Because not even
A Cozy Christmas.
I mean, Art does a lot.
But yeah, I know what you mean.
It's not just books that he talks about. He has everything else. His soul is focused on books, although it is part of it. He has another podcast about books, but it's not Christmas books. It's not focused in on Christmas. And that could be just because there isn't, I think you could run out of subject matter pretty quick with Christmas literature, like books and novels. I mean, you can probably get into little short stories and stuff like that, but A Cozy Christmas. Cause yeah, he's doing that, that book challenge thing over the summer that I do remember. And he's been on hiatus right now because I don't know if he's been busy or not feeling well or something. He hasn't really had something out in a little while. So that's probably why he didn't pop top of my head right now. Thanks, Jerry, by the way, for reminding me. but yeah, there isn't really like a focus on, okay, here's this book. here's, and the backstory behind the book about the author and where it came from and what some of the ideas he might have had. Art comes up with a lot of great books to read, and he has read some stories and stuff that are great, and it's fun listening to him recite those. But I haven't noticed like anything more like an in-depth look into these books and novels. And that's really what I haven't noticed, because we got tons of movies, movie reviews and stuff like that. And the one that is a movie review that really caught my eye and doesn't get kind of pulled back into the muddle of everything else other than the first ones I've listened to is Behind the Bells. I really like what Robert does with Behind the Bells, where he gets into behind the scenes of what happened on how this was made, some of the turmoils that could have happened, some of the ups and downs behind the making of it. And that really interests me too. So even though he comes out sparingly with his, not as often as I would love him to come out with episodes, when they do, it's always intriguing because I always love hearing the backstories behind a lot of these things. But there's music out there, not as much as could be, but people touch on a lot of music. And then obviously Sounds of Christmas is the biggest one in my mind for music, where you talk about a lot of industry behind the music, behind some things behind what's going on. I mean, we do have Tinsel Tunes and Jingle Jank, which is now on hiatus due to issues beyond their control, unfortunately. But so there's more music than that, and movies, like I say, and but then what really intrigues me, what I like, and I'd like to hear some other. I've got three international ones on the website: Total Christmas Podcast, Merry Britsmas, and Christmas Potting. Mm-hmm. Total Christmas and Merry Britsmas are from England, and then Christmas Potting is from Australia. I love those. I would love I could find more podcasts from other parts of the world describing Christmas in their area. Mm. Christmas Potting is great because everybody here is in the Northern Hemisphere. So it's winter when it's up here. For them, it's in the middle of summer when it's Christmas. So it's fun to get their thoughts and insights on Christmas. I'd like to have more, like maybe over in Africa or in India or China talking. I mean, if we get China, and the rough part about that is trying to get them where we could understand a language we could understand versus them talking in their native language. That's the rough part. I understand that, but it would still be neat to kind of hear that, because I've always, since I was really little, been interested in what they call a Christmas around the world. There was a The Magic of Christmas was the show that the local radio station where I grew up had on. It was a recorded podcast, and I was actually able, lucky enough, to purchase a show from like the 2000s from Chris Eric Stevens. So I purchased that, and it's got little clips of what Christmas is like around the world, which always intrigued me. I'd like to get more in depth with those and hear some of those. So that's pretty much the books and some more of in-depth around the world Christmas podcasts.
You know, it's very interesting mentioning about the other side of the globe where it's summer at Christmas time. I know that Paul Kelly, who is a big time rock star in Australia and almost unknown in the US, has a huge Christmas song called How to Make Gravy. Are you guys familiar with that at all?
Yeah.
No, not at all.
It's huge in Australia, and it's a song about a guy who's in prison, and one of the things that the family's getting together for Christmas, and he's talking about how to make gravy for the Christmas dinner. And gravy for them is not a brown gravy, it's like a tomato sauce kind of thing in there, but that's a big thing on the other side of the world. And just recently, I get Google alerts for all kinds of Christmas stuff, and I got this alert recently about KFC in Australia doing their Christmas in July promotion.
Wow.
Where they have these Christmas decorated buckets for the chicken, and that's pretty much the extent of it. But they also are selling like Christmas sweaters, and people, because it's winter there now, and people are commenting about how much they would like it if it was cold at Christmas time and they could wear this stuff at Christmas time. And it's just really interesting to hear that mm-hmm. when it's just the opposite here.
Yeah. And Christmas potting had touched on that point at one point too. And one of the hosts, Ness Gibson, she puts on this huge Christmas in July party. I mean, it's like the only thing bigger is her Christmas party that she puts on during the summer, but she puts on this huge Christmas in July, so they can wear their Christmas sweaters and all that stuff. They spoke about that on one of their episodes. So yeah, like you said, that stuff intrigues me, just hearing all the different, and then hearing, I mean, even from Britain to here, just the different yeah. words. We use the same word, but they mean two completely different things. Right. And that's what I love hearing. That's why I like Merry Britsmas. That's why I like Total Christmas Podcast. Other than the fact that Jack is just hilarious anyway. He's just a fun character. And but you hear all these things, and I love to hear the difference in what they do versus what we do here.
You know, it's funny that you say that. When I did the, I think it's the most recent podcast, the Christmas Hit podcast that you were talking about, mm-hmm. The segments of the podcast I got were from a UK podcast called The Modern Man. It's Ollie Mann, M-A-N-N, who is the host of the podcast. And in listening to this, as they're talking about Christmas, and there's lots of things that they mention in it, and I had to Google it. I had to figure out, what does that mean? Oh, okay. I guess that's a thing over there. Okay. Mm-hmm. And when at one point he's talking about the big Christmas songs, and he mentions Wham, and he mentions somebody else who I have no idea who it was. And those were the top of mind, top Christmas artists that he had thought of. Whereas over here, it would be hard for Mariah Carey not to be one of the people that yeah, you suggest, right. Regardless of how you feel about her or that, or her most famous song. Mm-hmm. It's still, whether you like it or not, she's the queen of Christmas music, at least for now, but not on their radar. And it's really interesting to hear that kind of stuff.
Right. And I think they touched on it too, from what I remember of that episode of yours is, and I've heard this all over, they have everybody in Britain tries to have that number one Christmas song. And right. It's not necessarily a song about Christmas.
Right.
It's just, they want to be number one on Christmas. So over here, a lot of people will take songs that aren't necessarily songs about Christmas, or even like Jingle Bells, where it's like Through the Snow, something adjacently like Christmas or wintertime or stuff like that. And they put them into the Christmas because they were number one on Christmas Day in Britain.
Right.
So that's another one of those fun facts that is just so interesting to me. That it's like, okay, you wouldn't think, and it's a song that's like you would play during the summer here, but it's number one hit on Christmas there, so they consider it a Christmas song. It's yeah. just some of those fun things I love hearing about.
Well, and most of us got a little taste of that with Love Actually, because mm-hmm. one of the characters was trying mm-hmm. to get a Christmas number one. His happened to be a Christmas song, but he was competing against a boy band whose song was not a Christmas song, right. But that was the thing, getting a Christmas number one. It's a huge deal over there.
Billy Mac. Yep.
Yeah. And it's the other thing that's really interesting about that, or at least I find interesting because of the music part of it, is that they're all excited about getting a Christmas number one. Over here, the music charts freeze at some point in December. Just freezes. They don't count them anymore. So, mm-hmm. so there's no Christmas number one. They'll be back after the first of the year. And part of that is that so many traditional radio stations go all Christmas and they're not playing new music anymore for the, you know, at least the last half of December, although many of them start in November. But yeah, but the charts here, they freeze. And if you don't know what that means, it just means exactly like it sounds like the last chart in the maybe second week of December, that's where Billboard stops counting the songs until they get into January and people get back to work and things get back to normal. And then there's a new chart that comes out, but it's much different than the way it is over there, where they're all, and the Christmas number one in England is such a huge deal that people are talking about it. They're betting on it. It's amazing and completely under the radar here. Not a peep. Scott, is there anything that you have wanted to cover or feature on your podcast, but you haven't gotten around to it yet, but it's still sort of in the pipeline? And I don't want you to have to spoil anything, but anything that you want to mention?
I have quite a few episodes planned out for the future. I don't have like a strict schedule, like going forward for a few months, but there are things that I do have planned. One of the things, and you were mentioning the Christmas in July promotion by KFC down in Australia. Kentucky Christmas is huge in Japan. Back in, I think, the early 70s, KFC essentially convinced people in Japan that people in America go to KFC for Christmas. And that turned it into this huge cultural thing over there. So
it makes you wonder, like, if someone were to, just, you know, it's like the biggest joke. Like, you just imagine someone at the executive or at KFC just being like, psych.
I got him.
and it worked out for him. It's such a big thing that you have to schedule your Kentucky Christmas dinner months in advance if you're going to get a KFC one. But beginning in the mid 80s or so, when they would have their Kentucky Christmas commercials, they would put a pop song along with it. And it's always a Christmas song, but I know Maria Takeuchi, her song Happy Holiday, it's been like the Kentucky Christmas song for like the last 20 plus years. I know a few of the other songs. I've been trying to find out, you know, a complete history of it so I could have an episode dedicated just to the Kentucky Christmas songs. So I'm still researching that, but I've been talking to Craig from Weird Christmas for quite a while about having him on for a Weird Christmas episode. I have some very interesting stuff lined up for that. and other than that, I mean, I've got some really fantastic albums that, you know, I try to space out the ones that are the absolute best, just because I don't want to cover all those right now and not have some of these just really phenomenal albums to look forward to. So those I tend to reserve for Christmas. Once we hit December, make sure you tune in around the 25th, because that's when the really exceptional stuff will be covered.
Jerry, how about you? You have anything that you have wanted to cover or feature, haven't gotten around to it yet, but it's still sort of in the pipeline? And if there's something that's sort of secret that you don't want to reveal, that's okay. But
I have a ton of things that I really want to cover, and I just haven't gotten there yet, just because there's so much to cover. Like, you know, people, when you tell them it's a podcast about Christmas in the 80s, they're like, well, that's what, like three movies and like three songs. It's like, well, no, there's a ton, really. Most people don't realize. And one thing that I'm working on, there's been phone calls and emails and stuff already, is I really want to cover Weird Al, some of his Christmas songs. He doesn't get enough love as a composer. You know, everybody just knows him for his parodies, but he has written some really good tunes, and there's a couple that are Christmas songs. And so I'm working on getting him on the show as well, which is a little bit difficult because of touring and his new biopic that's coming out. But yeah, there's things going on. Striper is another one I'm getting ready to have on. I just did one that I was very excited about with Patrick J. Miller, the composer for the Claymation Christmas Celebration. He composed and arranged the tunes, and then did the album and created, not only took some from the special, but also created a bunch of new arrangements, and they're super cool. So those are some. And then there's a few other things. I want to talk Care Bears. I can't wait to talk Voltron, just because I got it for Christmas and it was like the best Christmas gift ever at the time. So there's quite a lot of stuff that I'd really love to get into the nitty gritty with. And I'm just, hopefully I have time to do it all.
You know, it's funny. And I don't mean anything by this other than that it just struck me as funny. I can't tell you the last time I heard somebody say, I want to talk Care Bears.
No, that's a good point. Yeah.
Now, we've talked about what your podcast is about, but for anybody who's listening, Jerry, we'll start with you. What should they know about Totally Rad Christmas?
Hopefully that, yes, I cover historical items. Yes, I cover things from our childhood, but mostly I just want to remind people of that feeling that they used to get when they were kids, and they would, you know, run to the tree and see the present from Santa under the tree, and just that, the magic and the wonder and the awe. And if I can just do that, then I will have succeeded. Now, of course, all that is kind of wrapped in a nice little 80s bow, but really, I think the biggest thing is that if it's Christmas and it has to do with our childhood in the 80s and, you know, our formative years, and I'm definitely going to cover it, and I will get there eventually. But yeah, mostly I just want people to know that I'm here to remind them about how Christmas, how special and how magical it used to be.
How about you, Scott? What would you like people to know about your podcast?
I think the main thing is, there's a lot of really fantastic music that we just never hear on in this hemisphere, and the stuff that I cover, typically you really can't hear it anyplace else. Especially the older albums that I get, the older vinyl that just has never been re-released anywhere. You can't find it on YouTube. When you tune in to listen to my podcast, you're going to hear something that you is most likely completely new to you, and that you're not going to be able to find elsewhere.
And Sean, what would you want people to know about the Christmas Podcasts podcast?
Basically, just that, like I said, we're the one-stop shop for a bunch of Christmas podcasts that are really good out there. And I'm always in search for other interesting podcasts. I've come across a few that we've added, like Chris Sisley from Christmas Time in the City. He turned me on to Christmas Countdown Show with Danny and Eric. And those two are hilarious together, but they have such a love for Christmas. It's fun listening to those two counting down top five, whatever they feel. Yeah. And it's different. It's completely different, which makes it so fun. And you can feel the love for them, so that they have for Christmas. And that's just one of the fun things about this whole community that we're in too. We each back each other up, no matter what happens. We have each other's back, and we're not afraid to say, hey, check this one out. And there's some podcasts that I listen to that are not on the website, just because I'm just in the process of purchasing a house. So things are a little hectic for me right now, so I can't do as much as I'd like to. And especially one of the things I'd like to do is get more of you guys on, interviewing you about your podcast, kind of somewhat what you did here, but try to get a little more in depth. And like with Jerry, it would be more like checking in to see what it's like now versus the last time I talked to him, because he's been on. But I'd like to get you, Ken, and Scott, and some of the other ones I haven't touched on. So that's something that I would like to do, but right now life is so crazy and kicking me in the butt right now, being busy, that I can't do that. So yeah, basically I'm just searching for new podcasts, new different types of podcasts to listen to and enjoy, then hopefully get on and spread the word around about that podcast so others can enjoy it too.
Okay. There's a new one that I just saw, Closer to Christmas, by the way. Yeah.
Okay. I'll have to check that one out.
He just has like one episode right now, but he's the guy that's actually drawing a new not logo, but a cool new graphic, I should say, that I'm going to be using. It's ridiculously awesome, and I can't wait till it's done. But he seems like he's just a cool guy. So yeah, Closer to Christmas is one.
So does that mean I got to update my logo for you on the website then?
So now it's like 35, I guess.
John, if somebody's listening to this and they have started a Christmas podcast or they're thinking about starting one and they'd like to get connected, what do they need to do?
They can go to christmaspodcasts.com and on the front side there, you'll see where the latest episodes are in the page. And then near the bottom, there's a site directory and it says submit a bot. Submit. Okay. I speak for a living. Can you tell? Submit a podcast. So you click on that and you can submit a podcast that if you started a podcast or if you know of something, and then we can reach out and try to get the podcast on the site. And I'll listen to it and see. And hopefully we can get some new stuff on there.
Do you need to be the host or involved with that podcast? Or?
Generally, yeah. There's a lot of the questions will say that. Otherwise, you can just hit the contact us and just if you know of a podcast and let me know about it, and then I can reach out and try to find out who hosts that, and then I'll try to get a hold of them and try to get it on. So,
okay. Scott, what other than going to christmaspodcast.com, how can people find you?
Right now, I'm hosted on Libsyn, so my URL, I mean, you should be able to find me, just Google me. I'm on most of the major platforms. My actual site is hollyjollyxmasu.libsyn.com/website, but you can find me on Amazon, iTunes, most every place else.
And Jerry?
Yeah, same thing. I'm everywhere. literally and figuratively.
Everywhere.
Someone was asking me about how many podcasts I've been a guest on, and it's actually 29 now.
I thought it would be more than I host.
Well, the 30th has been recorded. It just hasn't dropped yet. But you can find me anywhere you get podcasts. I'm there. But I have a website, totallyradchristmas.com. I also, of course, am on Facebook and Instagram at @totallyradchristmas, Twitter @radchristmas, and I have a Facebook group, Totally Rad Christmas Mall and Arcade, where folks can interact with me and post anything they want, 80s or Christmas.
Cool. Very nice. Guys, thank you so much for sharing some Christmas spirit with us today.
Thank you, Ken, for all you
thanks
do. Thank
us.
You,
yeah.
Scott.
Yeah, Jerry. Thanks for having us on.
And thank you so much for listening and for continuing to support the Sounds of Christmas station and podcast. The station is still on, by the way, so anytime you need a little musical Christmas spirit, just head on over to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. You can also find our app in the Google Play Store. And as far as the podcast goes, we're now on over 30 podcasting sites, so you can find those at soundsofchristmas.com. Just click on podcasts and you will find the directory of everywhere we are. Or as Sean had said, you can go to christmaspodcast.com and then you can subscribe and you'll never miss another episode. If you have comments or suggestions on this episode, previous episodes, the Sounds of Christmas station, or the upcoming Standard station, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. Thanks again, and may you always believe in Santa Claus.